Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Robert Ruth, and I represent the defendant appellant James Mislevic in this case. This is a direct appeal from a judgment of conviction and sentence. The principal issue on appeal is whether the Armed Career Criminal Act should apply in this case. And the district court ruled that it does in April of this year. And then in May of this year, this court decided Brown v. Carraway. And that changed everything. The only offense in question is Wisconsin's offense of arson of property other than building. Now, there are three analyses the court has to do to determine if an offense qualifies as a violent felony under the Armed Career Criminal Act. The first is the elements clause. The government concedes that it's not a violent felony under the elements clause. The other two are the enumerated crimes clause and the residual clause. Now, the district judge found that we lost under the enumerated crimes clause because the district court defined generic arson as willful and malicious burning of property of another. This court decided Brown v. Carraway a month later and came to a different decision about generic arson. This court defined generic arson as same as the United States Supreme Court did in Begay and same as the Model Penal Code. This court said that generic arson is causing a fire or explosion with the purpose of destroying a building of another or damaging any property to collect insurance.
Well, you can't isolate arson, then. Arson itself. That's the question I have, at least. Well, you have, obviously, if there's a... We don't know what was burned in this case, do we?
It doesn't matter if we know or not, because we're not allowed to look at it. We're only supposed to look at the elements. That's the problem, of course.
So we're looking at just... But it could have been personal property.
Well, the elements of this crime are personal property, yes. Personal property valued at more than $100, and it can't be a building, and it's not for the purpose of collecting insurance.
So we don't know if the arson was for personal property, not a building, and not to collect insurance.
That's what we do know.
We know it wasn't.
No, we know that it was personal property. We know that it wasn't a building,
right.
And we know that it wasn't for the purpose of collecting insurance.
Okay, so
that's
we're
what
looking
we do
at
know.
Just arson of personal property.
Well, it's called arson of property other than building. Yeah.
Not limited to personal property, is it?
It's not limited to personal property, but it excludes buildings.
Well, you could set a forest on fire.
True.
I thought the preceding section was about destroying a building. Or am I wrong? It's just damaging a building?
The preceding...
Wisconsin statute. I'll find it.
Well, there are Wisconsin statutes. There is a specific Wisconsin arson statute that deals with insurance-related fires and building-related fires.
And right, you're right. It's just intentionally damaged. It doesn't have to be destroyed, yeah.
So we have this
property other than a building, yeah.
But this
building is
the discussion that we are having right now has nothing to do with the enumerated crimes clause. It may have something to do with the residual clause, but nothing to do with the enumerated crimes clause. Because for enumerated crimes, you look at the generic offense. This court defined it in.
And now, would you have a different position? Suppose if it weren't. It didn't have to be worth $100 or more, but $100,000. Suppose it were, you know, a fancy painting that was burned by a...
Now, would I have a different opinion as far as enumerated crimes or residual? Enumerated crimes...
I'm talking about arson.
Okay, well, it still wouldn't make it under the enumerated crimes clause because it would be broader...
I don't agree.
Well, generic arson is...
What's the difference between destroying someone's bungalow with a fire and destroying a painting worth, you know, $100,000?
Well, in terms of the dangerousness, a painting is a much smaller object and nobody lives inside a painting. You burn someone...
Not, okay, non-residential property, a shed.
In terms of the enumerated... enumerated crimes clause, it's broader. All you look at, what's generic arson? This court defined generic arson in Brown. And the court said generic arson is...
Brown is different. That's the Delaware statute about recklessly burning. And then there's another Delaware statute which is broader than... than 943.02.
Well, okay, but this court still defined generic arson in that case.
Are you saying generic arson can only be of a building? It can never be of personal property?
It can be. I'm not saying that. That's what this court said, and that's what Big A said.
Look, Brown is distinguishable. So let's just talk about what generic arson does. I don't understand saying that arson can never be of anything except a building.
Well, that wouldn't be accurate. Arson could be a lot of different things. It could be of personal property. But arson in the terms of being creating a substantial risk of death or great bodily harm to someone else.
No, if you go into a museum and torch this $100,000 painting, you may burn down the whole museum, right?
Well, you may, but that...
Well, it may be the painting's in someone's personal home, right? It's in the home. You go in, you burn it up, you hate modern art.
Right.
So you go in and you torch his painting and the whole house burns down, right?
Well,
and you say that's not arson.
Well, it's arson. It would be arson of property other than building.
No, it wasn't intentional. He didn't want to damage the building. He just wanted to destroy the painting. Happened that the whole building went up.
Well, that wouldn't be generic arson.
Well, I don't agree.
And it wouldn't be... And
such an artificial distinction.
Well, and here's the other factor you have to look at. And
what if a bunch of people are driving down the street in an automobile and you throw a hand grenade into it and causes a fire and all the people are killed?
Well,
that's
of course,
not generic arson.
Well, you'd have other offenses
there,
too.
Oh, you have an explosive. All right, you didn't use an explosive, right?
And you'd also have...
You had a torch. You had a lighted torch. You thrust it in the driver's face. The whole car, an old car, it's all musty, and it burns. And all these four people are roasted. And you're saying, that's not generic arson, because it's not a building.
Well,
is that your position?
That's this court's position in Brown.
That's not this court's position. It wasn't talking about this case.
Well,
so you know, the way lawyers, they find a case which has some relation to the present case, and they cling to that as to a very defective piece of wood in the middle of the ocean.
Well,
it's not the Brown case. I asked you very specifically. And the Brown case did not decide whether my case with the torch and killing the people in the car when you burn the car down doesn't decide that that's not generic arson. So I'd like a rational distinction between that case and burning down someone's garage that contains, a lot of stuff but no people.
Okay, here's the thing, Your Honor. It's 2 points. First of all, in terms of generic arson, it's a two-step process. The first step is defining generic arson. The second step is deciding if our offense fits within that definition. So in Brown, in Begay, the court defined generic arson. Now,
yes, but the critical thing in Begay is that EG, right? That leaves it completely open.
Well, causing a fire or explosion with the purpose of destroying a building of another or damaging property to collect insurance.
That's EG. The EG is very, very important. The court did not mean, I think the court is being cautious. Arson is causing a fire, explosion, with the purpose of, EG, destroying a building of another. And that leaves open
or
other forms. What if a person is sleeping in the car and someone sneaks up and burns up the car? That's his residence. There was just an article in one of the newspapers yesterday about some unfortunate person in New York because of the flood, driven out of his house, and he's been living in his car for several months, right? So, is that a building? No, it's not a building. But if you burn, if you kill a person by burning up his home, which happens to be his car, why isn't that generic arson?
Well, it's not generic arson, and I because it doesn't fit within. It's broader than generic.
It does fit, Begay, because Begay's EG suggests that the burning the building is it's not the insurance, burn your own property to collect the insurance. It's not necessarily limited to destroying a building.
Well,
otherwise they wouldn't need that EG.
I see that my time is up. May I finish this question?
Well, I wouldn't ask you the question if I didn't want you to answer it.
Okay. The model penal, Begay takes its definition from the model penal code.
And it adds the EG, which is not in the model penal code.
The model penal code does not contain an EG.
Moreover, what the model penal code did, and it shouldn't have done this, it really defines two types of arson. Sort of first-degree arson and second-degree arson. But it called the second-degree arson, you know, burning or exploding. And that's confusing. But that's really a side issue. As I say, the Supreme Court was unwilling to tie its position to the model penal code.
Well, there is a second factor to this, though, and that is the definition of intent in the state of Wisconsin. In order for it to be generic arson, and in order for it to qualify under the residual clause, the conduct that the fire has to be set purposefully. The damage has to be done purposefully. Wisconsin's definition of intent expressly carves out purposefully. It's not purposeful. Intent in Wisconsin could be purposeful, but it could also be that the action was so careless that the result was practically certain. And
that would be very gross negligence or something that almost arrives at that.
Well, we don't call it that, but I think you could call it that.
I'm going to focus on one thing just because of what Judge Posner wrote up. When I was in the Army a long time ago, somebody burnt somebody's car. It destroyed the car. It was personal property, and it was done by some revenge factor or something. But somebody intentionally burned the car, personal property. It was obviously within the definition of arson as far as I'm concerned. We don't know what the arson was in this particular case, but that could be totally qualified as far as I'm concerned.
If it was purposeful.
Well, yeah. It wasn't
okay.
An accident. This guy burned the car.
But in this case, this arson, the element does not require it to be purposeful.
I don't understand you. Are you saying that under 941.02, the means of fire intentionally damages any building. What is the sentencing range in Wisconsin?
I'm not sure, but I think it's a 10-year felony. It might be a 5-year. I'm not sure off the top of my head, Your Honor. It's a felony. I can tell you that.
And do you think really that is punishing people who negligently cause a fire?
Well, the definition of intent in Wisconsin goes beyond, includes something less than purposeful conduct. And that State v. Weeks, that's a Wisconsin Court of Appeals case, it says that the practically certain option was adopted so criminal statutes would apply to defendants who had not formed the actual mental purpose to commit the crime.
So you're talking about an accidental fire?
Well, I'm talking about a fire that falls short of purposeful.
Well, purposeful,
that in Wisconsin, intent can fall short of purposeful.
Somebody throws a cigarette down, they didn't, and it lights the fire, which, or maybe there's a careless fire, the one that started out in Colorado and caused all that damage.
Yeah, forest fire, for example.
If it's carelessness, if it's recklessness, if it's gross negligence, if it's anything short of purposeful,
right.
It's not a violent felony under the Armed Career Criminal Act.
Yeah, that's right. So if somebody purposefully sets fire to somebody's woods or their cornfield,
then you got them.
They don't like the farmer.
Well, then you potentially
and we
have
don't know that this wasn't exactly that.
Well, but we're not allowed to look at the facts.
So why can't we look at what the fact of generic, and that's just as likely as anything else.
But all we're allowed to do is look at the elements. And the elements are, in Wisconsin, an intentional fire that's not a building. Okay? And intent in Wisconsin is less than purposeful. So even if you reject what I say about Brown, reject what I say about Begay, we still have the fact that the elements of this offense were not that it was a purposeful fire.
Of course, you're over-reading Begay, because what Begay says is that driving under the influence differs from the example crimes, burglary, arson, etc., in at least one pertinent and important respect. The listed crimes all typically involve purposeful, violent, and aggressive conduct. Right?
Yeah, this court has subsequently said, though, in Brown, that it has to be purposeful conduct.
Back to Brown. But the Delaware statute was just about negligence. Well, it wasn't.
No, reckless. Reckless.
Reckless.
It was whoever intentionally sets a fire that recklessly causes the damage. And this court said that wasn't enough, because you have to purposefully cause the damage. In this case, we have the fire was set intentionally. But intent in Wisconsin is less than purposeful. It includes conduct that's not purposeful. And so we have, the statute in this case is directed at fires that are less than purposeful. So forget about what I said about Brown and Begay. You can reject that because we still win because it's not purposeful conduct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ruth. Ms. Rumbelow?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Rita Rumbelow for the United States. I represented the government below. The statute at issue here prescribes whoever, by means of fire, intentionally damages the property of another.
But Mr. Ruth says intentionally doesn't mean what it seems to mean. Right?
Well, the definition of intentionally in Wisconsin, it means...
Where is this?
It's my footnote number 2 on page 14 of my brief. It's in section 939.23 of Wisconsin statutes. Defines intentionally as meaning that the actor either has the purpose to do the thing or cause the result specified, or is aware that his or her conduct is practically certain to cause that result. And it's that second prong that the appellant keeps contending is analogous to mens rea of recklessness. He cited no authority in his brief for that proposition. And in fact, Justice Prosser of the Wisconsin Supreme Court noted, he made a distinction between aware in the intent statutes or the definition of intent versus recklessness. He says that the word aware in the definition of intentionally is that the actor is aware that his or her conduct is practically certain to cause that result.
So you're saying the practically certain...
That's not recklessness.
...is a step above recklessness.
Yes. Yes, and in fact, when you look at...
The need for recklessness would... A substantial risk or something like that.
Yeah. Correct. And when you look at... the courts have often discussed the federal arson statutes and maliciousness. This court recently decided McBride, which really was a sufficiency of the evidence case. But even when you look at maliciousness, this court held that it's a willful disregard of known or suspected consequences. That is analogous to the Wisconsin's definition of intentionally. So it does require purposefulness to commit this violation.
Courts and legislature really screwed this up.
Yes. I wouldn't want your job always having to decide what did they mean. But it's the statute cannot be any more clear. It's intentional damage. This is very, I agree with Judge Posner, this is not the Brown case. We have intentional damage, not reckless damage. And it is, you take a car, you buy a car bomb, an explosion, the fire, you could throw in a match, whatever. Of course that is a violent felony because it is the intentional damage of property of another. And I think another way to look at it is, why else would you want to destroy somebody else's property but for to be malicious? What else would the purpose be when, you know, it's not recklessness. We're not talking about throwing a cigarette down and accidentally burning your neighbor's house. That is not what we're talking about under this statute. That would be reckless damage or unintentional damage.
Well,
but
that's
here,
why they have this caveat about for insurance. That's when somebody would intentionally burn something, maybe for the benefit of the owner.
Right, but under
that's
Wisconsin...
Why that's why that's a clear exception.
Exactly. But here, Wisconsin statute is the intentional damage of somebody else's property, so clearly the arsonist is not the insured. And that's what Mr. Ruth keeps hanging his hat on under the enumerated clause section and the definition of generic arson. Because of Begay, he keeps claiming that this statute won't fit under the enumerated crimes clause because Wisconsin doesn't require that it be for insurance. And clearly that's not what Begay meant at all. What the focus is always in determining under both the enumerated crimes clause and the residual clause for purposes of the Armed Career Criminal Act, was the conduct purposeful? Is the underlying statute at issue? Does it have the requirement that it be intentional or purposeful? And clearly the Wisconsin statute does. So it fits squarely under both the enumerated crimes clause and the residual clause because it requires the intentional damage of property. Does this court have any further questions? I ask that you affirm the judgment and conviction of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rambolo. Mr. Ruth, do you have anything further? Your time expired, but you have some more time if you'd like.
What I would suggest is two things. State versus Weeks is where the Wisconsin Court of Appeals expressly stated that the practically certain option in the Wisconsin's definition of intent is so that you can apply criminal statutes to those defendants who had not formed the actual mental purpose to cause the crime. That's by the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and it cites a law review article from 1989 in Wisconsin. And my other point I would like to stress, read Brown and the definition of reckless arson in Delaware.
How far do you press this concept of intent to damage? What if you set fire to someone's house and you said, well, I didn't want to damage it, but I love fires. I love to watch fires. I was aware the house might be damaged by setting on fire, but it wasn't my intent. Now, how do you classify that person? Is that intentional within the meaning of, not of Wisconsin law, but your concept of generic arson?
Well, if you purposefully set a building, a house on fire, you have the purpose when you set the fire, not to injure anyone.
The purpose is to watch the fire. You don't want to damage the house. You realize, you know, it's collateral damage. It will be damaged, but you don't intend.
No, but if your purpose is to burn the house, then it's purposeful offense. And if it's a house, then it's arson, and then it's a violent felony.
Well, but if you set the fire and you're practically certain that it'll... Maybe you set fire to a tree that's next to the house, and you're practically certain that the burning tree will fall on the house and incinerate it, but you're not absolutely certain, and you don't particularly want to destroy the house. You want to burn the tree.
Then your purpose was not to burn the house, just the tree. Then that would be more along the lines of recklessness, and that wouldn't be a crime of violence.
Even in the case I gave?
Sure. I mean, Your Honor,
that doesn't make good common sense. I love fires, and I see a nice, it's the fall, I see a nice old oak tree next to your house, 3 feet away. It's full of dry leaves. And I say, this will make a beautiful fire. I love to watch the fire. Now, I am practically certain that this fire will cause the house to burn down. And I don't want that at all. I have no interest in watching houses burn down, but I love watching trees burn. And you're saying that's not generic arson.
It's a lot like the example in Brown. The example in Brown was setting a bonfire. Well, the example in Brown was setting a bonfire. Well, it was setting a bonfire. And the bonfire gets out of control.
Now, your answer to my question, I find troublesome.
If your purpose, look, there's a lot of reckless conduct that's dangerous, but reckless conduct doesn't qualify as a violent crime.
My example was intended to go beyond a step beyond reckless. That's the practically certain. You don't attach any. You don't think practically certain is applicable.
If you read how Delaware defines recklessness in its arson statute and compare that to practically certain,
honestly. You are so obsessed with Brown. I will read Brown with extreme care, but I don't want you to talk about Brown anymore. I want you to tell me whether practically certain, whether the government is correct, practically certain is the standard for this arson.
Well, practically certain is the standard, but it is short. It falls short of purposefulness. So in order to find that this arson is a violent felony...
Well, if it's in... suppose it's halfway in between recklessness and purposefulness.
Right.
Why is it clear from Begay that that couldn't be generic arson?
Well, there's no... The standard has been set at purposefulness. And if this court finds that, well, we're going to set the standard below purposefulness, then we would lose. But I submit
standard set at purposefulness.
Well, and Begay and...
That's not the way it's put. It talks about the typical characteristics of these other crimes. And it doesn't say, it says purposeful or violent, right?
Purposeful, violent, and I think there's one other word. But the focus has been on purposefulness, and that's why Brown fell short, because it wasn't purposeful. And so for us to lose this case, you would have to find that something less than purposefulness suffices.
Okay, great. Okay, well, thank you very much. You were appointed. So we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client. We thank Ms. Rumbelow as well. And the court will now be in recess.